Hello and welcome to the Dadcast. My name is Matt.
My name's Paul.
And we are both dads, gamers, and tech lovers.
And content creators.
And don't forget content creators. This is our podcast and we hope you enjoy it. Stay tuned, tune into future episodes, and we hope that you enjoy the chill out with us. And of course, we like to enjoy
a good old fashioned drinky poo.
A good old fashioned drinky poo. So we will always introduce a new drink each week or each episode. So stay tuned, tune in, have fun, chill out, and de-stress as a parent, a dad, a gamer, and a tech lover.
Enjoy it.
Peace.
Love you.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back.
Howdy.
Episode 11.
Episode 11.
Welcome to my house, Paul.
It's nice to be back.
Couple of weeks.
It's been a few weeks.
Been a couple of weeks. It was my bad last week because there were two reasons we postponed last week's podcast. One, I hadn't built the desk and the chair that I've just shown you.
No.
And they were all in this room.
So we had nowhere for me to sit anyway.
We had nowhere for you to sit, basically. or at least see past the boxes to each other's eyes.
Yeah.
We like to stare in each other's eyes.
It'd be like a blind date moment.
Basically, it was very much like a blind date. But yeah, I was also knackered. That has continued into this week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still knackered, but we can't delay this for more than 2 weeks. Yeah. And you've also had a busy week.
Yeah, well, we've had a little discussion beforehand about that. We've both had mega busy weeks.
Yeah. Which has kind of made the evenings, like, to be honest with you, the last week or so, when I've got home and got the kids to bed, had dinner, sat down, I've not been very sociable. Right. Not felt very sociable, but I have wanted to play some games, but I haven't wanted to sit on the PC. Like, I think we're old enough to be like pre-PC gaming being the thing. Consoles were where it was at.
Yeah, that's
and
it.
I associate stress-free gaming, non-social gaming as sofa, PS5, Xbox, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I've sat there monging
out. I've just been console gamer forever.
Forever. And that's my comfort zone. Like, if I want to escape the world, I don't tend to PC game.
No.
Because there is something different between sitting in a very nice ergonomic chair, granted, and lounging on the sofa with a leg up and a beer.
Yeah.
It's just different, isn't it?
And PC's too, it confuses my brain.
Yeah, and I'm not very good.
No, I'm not very good.
Whereas I hold my own on a console. Yeah. So there we go. So that's been the last week. It's been really, really busy. We've obviously both got content gripes in various ways this week. So that's one of the topics.
That's one topic, yeah.
But we're going to start off, obviously, with the main theme.
And
this is a bit of a shorter podcast today because, obviously, you've got to go pick up Layla from
back on the old guide to pick up duty, yeah. But last episode was a special event. It was our double digits.
It was double digits and it was a long one. It was a couple of hours.
It was a celebratory episode.
It was. So this one should be a lot snappier. So we'll fire through and have a good hangout.
Back to the 45, 50 minute.
Back to the OG.
Yeah.
So starting off with our opening affair, which is always a drink.
Beers.
Now, I've got to say, Bradley set the bar relatively high last week. And I definitely had a little bit of a cloudy head the next morning after our multiple 8%+ beers.
So it was my ride home that I was like, I was only had, you know, we had four beers, wasn't it?
Yeah, so basically two.
Two. So I was like, it's not that bad. I was like, I didn't feel too bad. Then I started riding home and was like, oh,
I've gone the wrong way.
Now the fresh air's hit me. Yeah. I don't know if I should be riding a bicycle.
Maybe I should get up and walk. But it was very much like that. I think if I'd have hit fresh air, it would have got me too. But I definitely felt a little bit heavy. I didn't feel it on the night, but the next day I was like, okay, we definitely had some heavy beer.
I had a beer, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So thank you, Bradley, for that. But that has set the tone this week. I was like, I can't come in with some 5% pussy out. So I've kept the numbers up.
You going after my brand?
Yeah. However, I was, before I even knew the alcohol percentage, this was one that I was going to get anyway. Now, I had a plan of where to get them, but because my day's just been so manic, I didn't get a chance to walk there from the office. So I had to drive after work and pick this up. But I didn't know the percentage, but turns out it was strong.
Cool. I'm game.
I was predominantly attracted by the can.
Okay.
So there's your first clue. It's going to be a cool can. Mm-hmm. So I will pass you one over. Close your eyes. You know the drill. Close your eyes. You'll get a big surprise. Here we go.
That's not a can, that's fleshy.
It's very warm and it's fizzy. So on the count of 3, 2, 1, open your eyes.
Oh, that does look cool, doesn't it?
Yeah. So this is a gaming-themed can. It is by one of our favourite beer producers, which is Brewdog. And this is called
Shout out, Brewdog.
Brewdog. This is called Arcade Made. Mm. And it's very 8-bit sort of graphics on the can. It's a double dry hopped dipper. I don't know what that is, but it is an 8% beer.
Very nice. I'm pretty sure dipper came up in last week's episode.
Was that the one where we did, which was the one from Malaysia or wherever it was?
Yeah, yeah. And it was something about dyeing clothes or something weird like that.
It's where it comes from originally.
Yeah.
Double dyeing your clothes or something like
something
that.
Something like that, yeah.
So, yeah, this is a BrewDog Arcade made. This was bought from Asda. I was going to go into the BrewDog pub near at my work, and you can buy cans individually, but I say I didn't get down there. But this was the one that I wanted to buy for the podcast. So, chin chin. We'll get this open. We'll do the pour.
Nice. There are some in the BrewDog restaurant down in town. They have some amazing choices down there. I'm surprised that none of us have been down there and just grabbed one, to be fair.
Yeah, well, that was my inspiration, was I saw the fridge. When I went down and had a meeting there the other day, I was like, oh, they got a whole fridge full of cans. I was like, that's perfect for podcasts. So don't be surprised if there's a theme over the next few weeks.
This could slowly turn into the BrewDog podcast.
Basically, it might be a constant stream of BrewDog beers.
It's a nice yellowy-green hue to it, isn't it?
It's very similar to last week. Cloudy. A yellowy amber.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the light. It's like the blue. Obviously, we've got the LEDs going on. It's giving it the green effect.
We've gone for white in the middle. Probably that does give a bit of that. But there is definitely a tinge of a greeny cloudiness
like
there.
Like that, was the energy one drink you bought week? That was nice.
It smells very fruity.
Very citrusy.
Right, let's see what this tastes like. Bottoms up. You definitely know it's an 8% beer.
Oh, baby.
No, I feel that isn't as smooth as last week. Nice. Last week didn't taste like an 8% beer. That does.
Mm. Yeah, this...
That's got a bit more bitterness.
Very bitter at the end. But I think that is almost a staple of the stronger BrewDog, because they all have that bitter taste at the end.
It definitely has a very, very complex bitter aftertaste. I'm getting definitely citrus off the bat. And as that develops, it goes more bitter towards the end. It's nice.
It's very nice.
I wonder again if that's better cold, because these are obviously room temp.
Yeah, icy cold.
Yeah, because obviously the general rule with ale is it shouldn't be too cold. No. It shouldn't be refrigerated. It should be kind of chilled at best. I suspect that's nicer, quite cold.
We've got no blurb on this one.
It doesn't have any blurb this week. I did notice that as well. I was looking for stuff to tell you about it and where the theme arcade made come from, but maybe it's just a cool can. So there we are, everyone. BrewDog Arcade made. Today's podcast is sponsored by BrewDog.
I wish. Right, I've just logged up, I've quickly thrown up the BrewDog website.
Let's have a little gander then.
It says, let's have a look. Taste profile. So we've got hoppy, quite hoppy.
Yep.
Mid...
That's the bitterness. Yep.
And mid to low maltiness.
That's good. I don't like too malty.
Product info. That's different. That's rubbish. That's rubbish. So we've got leveled up beer. Ready Player One. This is beer with all the cheat codes. A non-stop action-packed adventure of deeper, button-mashed, full of Citra, Mosaic, and Chinook playing on co-op mode with grapefruit, coconut, juicy oranges, and pine. Grab a beer, put your pound in the machine, settle in for a night of Time Crisis 3, reload your glass as needed.
I think there's a lot of artistic license in the description of that beer.
It was very like up and down. I was like, somewhere in here is about beer.
Yeah, I think definitely get the Citra. I definitely get the grapefruit.
So is this Mosaic or Mozak? I don't know. Yeah,
Mosaic. So that's a blend of flavours, basically. So a mosaic of flavours.
Yeah, Mosaic and Chinook playing on co-op.
Yeah. So, yeah. I get that. Citra, bit of grapefruit, bit of pine, bit of kind of sourness from the hops.
Yeah.
I get all of that from that beer. I wouldn't say it's my favourite. But then BrewDog tends to throw some quite extreme flavours out there, as we know from the Pina Colada one. So
Pina Colada one.
You know, every experiment is a good experiment.
On my, like, mental... spreadsheet of beers, the Pina Colada one is up there with the old Raspberry Ripple one from last week.
Yeah, I mean, that is the pride of beers. basically. That was very, very fun. It was a very fun one.
It was a
fun one. There we go. That is your treat for this week. Arcade made by BrewDog. Let's get into it.
Let's get into it. Cool. So next up on the agenda, do a little bit of parenting. This is the Dadcast after all. So little old Daisy had a little operation recently.
She did. We've had a lot of tooth stuff in the house lately. I'm currently nursing a toothache, which has been going on for about a week. And I have just popping painkillers 3-4 times a day because I don't like the dentist. So I'm trying to nurse it until either the nerve dies or I learn to live with the pain. Basically, any alternative.
I rye man up or the tooth gives in.
Basically, it's a battle of wills, basically. So at the moment, alcohol and pain relief are just about edging the battle.
I've heard they're a good combination.
They are a very good combo in small doses. But yes, Daisy, basically, if you've listened to previous podcasts, we've been building up to this. So she's had, obviously, really bad toothache for 3-4 months now.
Yeah.
And we've been on a waiting list with the NHS and we got our place basically, which was in Dorchester Hospital. So that was last Monday. And we went in and she basically was given anesthetic, put to sleep, and had 4 teeth taken out, extracted. So there was only actually 1 bad tooth.
Yeah.
The other 3 were baby teeth, which were maybe not ready to fall out, but they needed to come out because they were, you know, crowding the mouth. So she was really good. Like we got up there, she was being really brave. You know, she's quite stoic anyway. Got there, she was cool in the hotel room. You could tell she was anxious because she was quiet.
It's fear of the unknown in that situation.
Now, you know
it?
Daisy.
Yeah.
She's a chatter.
Yeah.
She's a performer, an extrovert. She was quiet. She was good.
Yeah.
But she was quiet. And she wanted to play all the games. So, we had the children's ward, in fairness, was lovely. And she wanted to play. They had board games. They had colouring in books. They had magazines. They had all sorts in there. So we were playing board games, Battleship, Snakes and Ladders, Connect Four. You know, we were just playing all of them. But there was 4 other kids in there, all of them younger, I think. Okay. One was very young. One was like 3. The next one was probably 4-ish. The other one was about 6, a bit closer to Daisy, and then obviously Daisy being 7.
Yeah.
Sorry, 8. And they came out and they weren't handling it so well. Obviously, they had blood. They were disorientated. They were crying, you know. And you could tell with each one that came out, Daisy was progressively building up her level of stress.
Yeah.
To the point where she broke. And at the point she broke, you could tell she was scared, basically. And then you know what I'm like? I'm a big softy. So I was crying without being vocal about it. You know, my eyes were welling up. I could see she was upset. Yeah. I was giving her
cuddles.
That's
just the hard part of being a parent, of seeing your kid upset, knowing that at the moment, like, you literally can't do anything about it.
No, and there's a difference between your kid's fallen over, they're having tears because they've grazed their knee. You know, that's going to happen. And as a parent, you do get used to that. That's an ouchy tear.
Yeah,
you can deal with those as a parent because you know they're fine. They're going to heal. You know, it's just the reaction of it. But I think this one hits you harder because they're scared.
Yeah.
And that fear upsets you because, you know, not that anything drastic probably would have happened, but there's always those horrible thoughts as a parent. She's going to be put under. She might not wake up. And that's the extreme.
Yeah, it's very extreme. And you know in modern medicine, it's like that's never, ever going to be the case. But I think when you're in that situation and then you've got the anxiety and stress of trying to calm your own child down, then inherently your mind wanders.
It wanders to quite a dark place.
And it always goes straight to the worst possible thing scenario that could ever happen.
Yeah, and that's the problem. And even, you know, and you know my wife, she is very, you know, she doesn't worry about stuff like that. She, you know, she's black and white, but like Jess, you know, it's just like, meh. You know, and she's effectively an anaesthetist. She does that as a veterinary nursing. She helps with that.
Yeah.
So she, more than anyone, knows the pitfalls. Animals are probably a higher risk.
Yeah.
Because they don't talk back and you don't know, you know, any underlying stuff really. But she was worried. Mm. And when she gets worried, I'm like, ah, shit.
Yeah. Yo, this is your jam. You should know this.
You should be like the most chilled one here. But she was worried. And Daisy was like, I want you to come down to the theatre with me. And I was like, okay, it was originally going to be mummy. I'll come with you if you want me to. But then in the end, we switched back because I was like, I'm a bit of a wreck. Like, if I come down and I have to watch you be put out, I'm probably gonna lose it.
Yeah,
you know, I'm gonna be no good. I'm gonna be an embarrassment. So in the end, she went down with mummy.
Yeah,
I went out and sat in the corridor, and Carly went out and came out and said that was horrible. You're like, for me, even as someone who does this day in, day out, seeing your child put to sleep even for a minor operation, is horrible.
Yeah.
So there's no way I could do it. So we went outside. Once she was in theatre, we went outside to the roof. They had this little tuck shop. We went in, got a sandwich, a packet of crisps, drink, went out and sat on the roof terrace. And she was only in for half an hour.
Okay.
And that's from doing the op and actually bringing her out into post-op recovery.
Mm.
It's like half an hour. So that time flew.
Yeah, I bet.
And then they brought her out. And in fairness, compared to the other kids, she was brilliant.
Mm.
She was a little groggy. She was very tired. She just wanted to go back to sleep. We needed to get some fluids in her. Obviously, she hadn't eaten all day.
Yeah, because that's the thing with pops. You're not supposed to eat mouth. Beforehand, are you? Yeah.
She had some water in the morning and some water around 11 o'clock, and that was it. And we didn't get in until gone four on the day. We had to get there for two. She didn't go down until about half four.
She's gone all day with nothing.
Yeah, so it was gone dinner time, and she'd not eaten from the night before.
Yeah.
So, you know, she would have been absolutely starving.
Yeah, I'll bet.
And weak and tired and everything. But she did really well. Mm. I mean, she came out. She even managed a McFlurry on the way home.
That's good enough.
Because we were near Dorchester McDonald's. So, yeah. So she was okay. She came around really quickly. But that was, you know, it was quite emotional. And then this week, bloody Poppy's tooth has been really loose. One of the big front ones. Mm. And that came out today. So, you know, between my toothache, Daisy and Poppy, teeth is the order of the month.
Yeah, teeth is the topic.
It is not fun. So, but hopefully we're through the worst of it now.
Yeah. Yeah, how's the recovery been? Recovery all right so far?
Yeah, it took her probably, I would say, 5 days.
Yeah.
I think the first 2 days were genuine ache, pain, and recovery. The latter 2 days were psychological. So I think she was worried about it hurting rather than actually hurting.
More like a phantom pain.
Yeah, basically.
She seemed okay. Obviously, we saw you weekend just gone.
Yeah.
We had barbecue.
Yes. By then, she was fine.
She was, yeah.
Yeah. You so that was like, that was the fifth day.
Yeah.
So by then, she'd got over her head.
Mm-hmm.
And she still feels weird because she's got a gap, obviously, but she's used to that now.
Yeah,
but yeah,
it was, over time it'll sort of close up.
I would say Wednesday is when the kind of official pain aches ended. Thursday, Friday were when the psychological battle was there, and then by Saturday she was pretty much right as rain.
Back to normal.
Yeah, it's been a fun couple of weeks with all of that as well.
Yeah,
and work, and obviously content creation.
That's good. But glad she's that's, you know, a big thing in this. Taken control of your lives over the last couple of months, so that out the way is
good. Yeah, to know, you know, we were going for a lot of cowpole, every night, and even
nights.
It went on for so long, we got into routines of, like, you know, her getting a cold can and doing a cold compress on her face every single bedtime.
Yeah,
rotating two cans a night. One went cold, warm, and brought another cold one up. So it just, when you go on for 2 months plus doing that, it becomes very normal.
Just routine, isn't it?
So now it's like, oh, I haven't had to give you cowpaw. Oh, I haven't had to get you a can because that pain's gone.
I'm not used to having a cold beer.
Yeah, I can actually drink my own drinks now. So yeah, no, it's been a wild couple of weeks, but thankfully, we are past that now.
Well, we're glad she's on the mend. And
thank you.
She's all good. Yeah, I mean, on teeth, Emily lost her tooth last night. Mm.
She's so, in sync with Poppy.
Yeah, which is quite cool.
They seem to lose teeth quite close together.
They do. I think they're similar-ish ages. This the thing, right? With our kids, I get so confused on their ages because...
You're allowed as a parent. I do it all the time.
Well, only because, like, when they're all together, like Daisy and Layla are together, Poppy and Emily are together.
Yeah, now this is the weird thing because I get this as well. Because Daisy, I think, acts older than her age.
Yeah.
And is closer to Layla, who's much older.
Yeah.
But then... Emily acts probably younger than her age, although she's the same age as Daisy.
Yeah, so Emily's 8 next month.
Yeah, but I see her more like Poppy's age.
Yeah, when I'm together, because they're all like size-wise and height-wise, they're all the same.
Yeah, height is a big part of that.
Yeah, so like Emily's always quite small.
Yeah.
So when you see her with Poppy, you're like, oh, those two are the same age.
Yeah.
And then you don't think that her and Daisy are in the same year.
Exactly.
Which is weird. Yeah,
there's almost 2 years difference in there.
And then you've got Daisy who's 8, and then...
She's more like 11.
Layla's 11.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it is crazy like that. It is hard to get your head around that. But then I guess, you know, it's no different to us. I mean, how many years are there between us?
Not that many.
Too many. Too bloody many.
Well, I'm 10?
12?
No, well, I'm 33.
So 11 years.
It's not that bad.
Yeah. I've almost dated
people
big
have been
put
gaps. Away for worse.
Yeah. They do indeed. They do indeed. Moving swiftly on.
Sorry if I lowered the tone too far now.
No, that's fine. You can't lower it much lower than Rolf Harris.
No. Anyway, so we'll get on before we go to a happy stage. Let's just get the moany bit out of the way.
The moany bit, right? So let's start with your moany bit. So you recently won a giveaway.
Mm.
You've actually had quite a good run on giveaways, in fairness, because didn't you win a laptop at some point recently?
I did win a laptop. And that was one of our friends' giveaways, but that's neither here nor there.
Does not matter. You still won a prize.
I still get...
That was a good prize.
Yeah, that was the Asus TUF 15 RTX 3090 laptop.
So let me ask you a question on the back of that, which leads nicely into our segment afterwards. When you won that laptop, was there any expectation to post any content for it?
There was not. There was not any expectation at all.
But have you posted content for that laptop?
Probably, yes.
Yeah,
because
organically.
Organically, as a creator.
Yeah.
And
cool stuff.
As a Instagram whore.
Yep.
It's
you can't help but film tech.
You can't help it. It's a new toy.
Yep.
I'm going to share it.
So that leads nicely into your moan.
To my moan. I won't mention the company. That's unfair.
Yet.
Yeah. But yeah, so I'd want a giveaway.
Mm-hmm.
It's a... It's like a desk arm
that
you can put your phone on. You can put your iPad on it. I think it's like MagSafe or something. Mm-hmm. So they sort of magnetic.
And you've got a new phone, which is MagSafe,
Got my new iPhone.
There you go. It's very useful. Good timing.
So it's quite a cool gadget to have.
Yep.
So anyway, I won that in their giveaway. I've received the product. And I've sort of, it's been sat in its box because I've just not had time. So then they messaged me saying, oh, I hope you've got the product okay. Any chances you could share some photos of your experience? Not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Like we say, I'm going to do that anyway. That's just organic.
At some point.
Yeah. This morning, I wake up to a message that came through at 3 a.m. Where's our content? When can we expect to see this content? And it's like, well, hang on a minute. This isn't a collab.
Yeah.
You're not paying me to do this.
This isn't work.
Yeah. It's like, I won this.
Yeah.
If anything, I'm just going to do it organically as a favor.
Yeah.
As a goodwill gesture.
Well, this is the point. Like, I to a degree, I get where they're coming from. Like, don't forget, I did a PS5 giveaway.
Yeah,
with Smith's Toys Gaming. I reached out to the person who won, said congratulations, did all that niceties. Mm. Really nice. Really happy you won the prize. Would it have been nice to basically see a photo of it in use in the family home to show that they've actually genuinely won it?
Received it, yes.
It's more from a point of view that I want people to know that someone genuinely won it.
Yeah.
Because if they never see the prize in someone's home, they kind of feel that they've been swindled.
Yeah, they don't know what's happened.
So it'd be very nice, because all I wanted them to do was put a photo on it saying, look what we just won from Smith's and Iron Milks, and I would have shared it to my story.
Yeah.
Because I have a story cover which says the PS5 giveaway.
Mm.
And the final bit would have been to have a picture of them posting it, and I would have shared it and saved it along with the giveaway.
Yes, you've got that nice...
So it closes the loop.
Continuity's there.
Basically. Yeah. So I do get from their point of view, like, they want to see that their prize is in someone's hands, but... To expect it, to expect content. And I think the difference is, like, I would have liked to see content as in, you know, you post it because you're happy.
Mm.
But I would never have the nerve to say, can you give me 5 photos? Can you get me, you know, do this, do that?
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, granted, when I got it through the post, it's busy Monday to Fridays. They're like,
yep.
For me nowadays, content is more or less safe for the weekend.
Because I'm getting a bit like that.
Monday
to
Friday, I just don't have the time. Mm. So I probably unwrapped it. Pull it down, and then it's just back of my mind. Yeah. I know it's there, but I'll get to it once I've got collaborations out of the way.
Yeah.
But yeah, just waking up this morning, and the first thing is, hey, when are we going to have these photos and this content for us?
Yeah.
It's like, wow.
No. No. Like, yeah, I mean, you're basically destroying any sort of brand goodwill that I have now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was diplomatic and obviously explained politely that I have other...
Customers.
Other obligations to attend to first. Then I will do it.
Yeah.
But
don't expect it.
But don't expect this. You're not paying me, so no, don't expect anything.
That is off. Like, you know, I can definitely see to a point.
Mm.
And it comes down to value as well. I mean, let's not lie, a PS5 is quite a valuable prize to win. So not seeing it actually posted is like...
Yeah, which is a weird one, you think, because that's quite a...
It's a cool thing to post about.
In, you know, weighing up the two products,
the
PS5 is like massive compared to an arm that sits on my desk.
Yeah. But the principle remains the same.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, no, I totally get that. I would be pretty pissed as well, to be honest. If I had had a hard Monday and I had got that message, they would have got both barrels.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I wouldn't have been as diplomatic in my reply.
But it's just one of those. It's just a bit of a gripe. Like, don't expect content from a giveaway.
Yeah.
Like you say, should I have shared a story and gone, look what I've won? Yes, probably should have. You know, that's my mistake.
You could have.
Could have.
You don't need to.
No. It's a giveaway, sir.
It's a giveaway.
It was a competition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like you said, you haven't even got it open yet. So, you know, chill.
Yeah.
Chill, daddy.
Anyway, that's my content.
That's your gripe. That's my really have a gripe on content. Like, this is the thing. Like, over the last few weeks, you've probably seen quite a emotional side to my Instagram. And actually, it's not really because I'm in a bad place. It's I'm tired.
Yeah. Cause I did message you in like a jokey sort of to one of your stories the other day.
So it's definitely nothing is really a moan. Like everything is good. Like there's no drama, no problems. But work at the minute, as you know, I've got multiple big projects on the go at the minute. And
that's that's day job. That's not Instagram life. That's day job.
That's day job. Yeah. And that's pay the bills sort of stuff. And we're coming to a crescendo now for probably a year's worth of work. Mm. And there's going to be some big things happening in the company. Now, I'm obviously a marketing director. And one of my roles is to make sure that the onboarding and the look of the business and the kind of the brand guidelines and everything else goes really smoothly. Because not just one brand. We've got the brand that we're buying. We've got our brand, which is rebranding.
Yep.
And we've also got another business that we're trying to buy. And we've had our bid accepted. Mm. So between the three businesses, I'm trying to bring it all together.
Yeah, trying to get three separate brands at the moment into one cohesive unit.
Basically unit. Yeah. And also, you know, trying to get, you know, our company then needs to have its website rebranded, its letterheads, its business cards, you know, company's house has got to be changed. You know, I'm trying to sort out all the external signage of our shop. All of that stuff is very creative.
Yeah.
So like the last 3 days I've been in Photoshop pretty much all day, every day, mocking up the look, pinging it around the other directors.
And from what you've shown me, it looks amazing.
Hopefully it will look good.
Yeah.
You know, but it's been constant tweaking of colors, you know, changing the brand guidelines and all that sort of stuff. I've enjoyed it, but it's been exhausting. So when I come home, like normally at work, it's very salesy. I come home, the creator's side's quite nice. It's different to the salesy stuff. But lately it's been all content creation. It's been all creation. And I come home and I've got nothing left in the tank.
Yeah, which is that's the hard balance where when you've been creative all day for one thing, to come home and then have dinner, do your, you know, husband, dad chores.
Yeah.
And then you're like, right, now I've got to switch back into creator mode.
Yeah. My tank is very much empty.
Yeah.
And that's what it's been like. So it's not like I'm getting a lot of hassle or anything like that. I have had quite a few chases, but I think all good creators put the pressure on themselves more so than the brand does.
Yeah.
So I've got a couple of bits where the product was sent out quite a long time ago now. I have filmed a couple of times, but the footage has never been what I've wanted. So it's not like I've just left it.
No.
I have actually started the job, but I've not gone full circle and actually completed it. Mm. So by the time it comes to filming it again, I've kind of lost the kind of continuity of what I filmed. So I start again.
Yeah, that is the trope of the creator. Like you say, it's not the brand breathing down your neck because you've neglected to do it. It's just what you've got so far isn't up to the standard that you hold for yourself.
Yeah, you set your own bar
and
really high.
That's the hindrance of, it's a double-edged sword. You're giving the brand the best content they can possibly get out of you.
But you could have given it quicker if you did it to a lower standard.
Yeah.
And this is the enigma of Instagram because, as you know, for the last maybe 2 years, I've tried to go max production.
Yeah.
DSLR, lighting, whole shebang, scripted voiceovers, seamless, no ums, no ahs, you know, proper. And I've wanted to do that because you believe that it needs to be amazing to be good.
The production value has to be
amazing to
do
well. And that is the theory of life. Mm. If you want to do something good, you have to do it better than the next person.
You have to invest and you have to put yourself ahead,
But the enigma is, that's not how it works on Instagram. Now, recently, the last 3 weeks, I've been doing some experiments because nothing has worked for a year and a half. Mm. I've had the odd spike, the odd reel that's done okay, but nothing has gone viral for me in nearly 2 years, right? So I've experimented, and we're going a bit off topic here, but I've experimented in the last 2 to 3 weeks of lowering the production quality and recording more or editing more in the app.
Okay.
Yeah. So I always try and do something in the editing process of the app. So whether I've edited it all in CapCut, brought it into the app, I'll do the text in the app, or I will record the voiceover in the app.
Mm-hmm.
So I've done something in the app for creation.
Yeah.
Because they keep saying, or the rumor is that basically it favors you editing in the app as opposed to bringing in from an outside editor. And then I've recorded the voiceover in the app, but I've also not scripted it. I've basically just recorded it off the fly.
Yeah.
That does mean there's more imperfections. It does mean there's more ums and ahs. And I think that's not so much for Instagram's benefit. I think that's trying to experiment with it sounding more real.
Yeah, I think doing it, whenever I've done a voiceover, like I've tried scripting a voiceover and I always ad-lib. Like, I think that's just human nature.
Yeah.
It's very difficult just to stick to a script. And so I do think when you have those moments of pauses, ums, ahs, or I've said this word wrong, so you then you say the word twice.
Yeah.
I think that does add to that genuine
authenticity sort of thing.
Yeah,
it makes less salesy, more authentic, less polished.
Yeah, yeah.
So I do see that, and kind of I can kind of see the point where I started doing it on the phone, because I look at the kind of the quality, and you know, before that I've gone from 6,000, 7,000, 12,000, 2,000, 11,000, 8,000, 4,000, kind of all around views, the 10 or sub 10 views on Reels, and then all of a sudden I've started to just film it a little bit more. Camera phone in hand, POV, a lot of it, 15,000, 57,000, 7,000, 14,000, 144,000, 21,000, 24,000,
so there is some
10, 28, and my latest two are on 12 and 6.5.
So there is a grain of truth.
It's almost double.
To the...
And I don't know if it's that.
It could just
be the contents.
It literally just could be anything.
It could be anything. But I'm trying to find a pattern because there's so many of creators in our, you know, close network that are pulling their fucking hair out.
Yeah.
They don't know what to do.
Then you get the odd creator that's out there
who
posts a video and it's like 37 million views in 10 minutes. And you're like...
Some people are bulletproof.
It's
some
crazy,
people post the same shit in every single reel because they've found something
you treat this reel right.
Which
you're
going
to get something special.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, it could be that, or they, you know, some of the reels I love looking at, but they are the same. Mm. Now, this is the problem is if Instagram was only showing your stuff to your followers, they get bored of that really quick.
Yeah.
But those people are posting that because they are getting this mass reach to non-followers. So, in a way, people are finding that one style of reel engaging for the first time multiple times.
Yeah.
But it's not actually your followers that are giving you these numbers. It's the non-followers.
Yeah.
And that's the dilemma. Your followers are getting bored. Like, I follow a few people that post the same stuff all
because
the time.
There's a creator I could think of. He's a lovely guy. Like, I speak to him now and again, and he's a nice guy.
Mm.
But his content is pretty much the same pan, walk up to the setup, pan. Mm-hmm. And like does numbers, like works great. But I personally, I get bored of filming that.
I get bored of filming it, I get bored of watching it. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I actually genuinely find setup
but I also
boring
find
to film.
Like my feed is so weird because like I don't see anybody like, I say new, like my feed is literally full of the same.
Same people.
Like maybe 10
yeah.
faces. But that's all people that I talk to
regularly
on a daily basis. And that's all my feed shows me.
Yeah.
So I've got loads of people that I follow. I don't see any of their content.
No.
Because it's just not there. Unless I actively go and find them.
You need to reconnect.
Yeah.
So that's what happens is if you reconnect with people, you start to see them again.
Mm.
So like Instagram does massively filter out people.
Which is, and this is where I think us as creators have that down. This is what's happening.
Yeah.
Because we have to reconnect with everyone, but we've got such a broad, like take royalty, for example. How many people have we got on there that we talk to in the Discord on a daily basis?
Yes, yeah. And you don't see them on Instagram.
You don't see them on Instagram, but having to then go onto Instagram and go to every single one of their profiles, search them individually to leave a comment, to leave a message.
Yeah, there's loads of people I know on Instagram that I know on Discord that I don't follow because I never see them unless I physically go find them. And I'm
I wasn't following
you.
And I'm not trying to get across it. It's hard work and like I haven't got time for that because I have, but that's just not the way Instagram should be. It should give, like I could see your posts.
Yeah.
I could see four of your posts on one scroll of my feed.
Yeah. They all come through in one go.
Which is ridiculous.
It's not like it should just be all your followers, newest to old.
The newest posts.
Yeah. It is a bit frustrating. Like with my numbers, for example, you know, I should get the numbers I should be getting should just be the numbers that I'm getting on those views should just be from my followers. It's not like I'm getting more views than my following. So if I had 80,000 followers and I was getting 100,000 views, you would argue that the largest proportion of that are my followers.
Yeah, yeah.
And the smaller proportion is people from Explore. Mm. But it's not. 4,000 of those are my followers and 20,000 are people who don't follow me.
Which is weird, isn't it?
It's mad that your followers that have chosen to follow you get excluded from seeing your content. Yeah. It's just bonkers. But we're obviously digressing off the path there. But
yeah, that's the moany side.
That is the moany side out of the way. Moving on.
So let's have some moan. Anyway, so I have a new obsession.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned, it must have been last week's podcast, that I really, really quite like the idea of buying Diablo.
Yeah.
So I bought Diablo.
You bought Diablo.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen you since.
Little bit of like money came in here and there. Yeah.
Yep.
With some scrap sold at work and, mm-hmm. you know, hush hush stuff. Bit of backhanders left and right.
No one heard that, Bradley. Shush.
Yeah, he made out of it as well. It's fine. It was me and him that orchestrated it.
Nice. Right. More beers next week, Bradley, please. Otherwise, I'm telling.
So I had some money set come into my hand. So I was like, cool.
Diablo
now.
Nice.
And it's just amazing.
You're enjoying it.
You've seen bits of it. It's not for you. I appreciate that.
It's not my style of game. That's not to say I wouldn't enjoy it if I played it. I think the problem is, do you play it with other people? Or you've been playing it by yourself?
I've played it with other people because I've got friends with it.
Yeah.
And I've put 90% of where I am, I've just done solo.
Yeah. I think I think those types of games I would enjoy probably with other people. I think if I was by myself, I wouldn't get it or I should be a bit bored.
It's cool because it's got, there's a story to follow.
Yeah.
And then once you've done that story, it's a weird concept that like you get to level 50 and then the game begins.
Okay.
But like up to that point, there's like a whole story to follow, like a narrative to follow.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's stuff you can just go and dick around with if you want.
So it's a bit like training you for the big event.
Yeah, so once you hit level 50, it opens like a whole different leveling system. So you're leveling up, like you build your character up and you're like, right, I want this ability, I want these passive things to go on, all 50 levels of those. And then it goes, right, now you're at level 50, you have all these other options you can now go and do, which then benefit the choices you've made prior to that.
Right, so they are still connected in a way.
They are still connected, and you can still fully respec.
Yeah.
You can just spend some money and just respec, but I'm sat at like millions of gold at the moment, so I could just respec as many times as I want almost. But it's very good. It's a very nice, it's a very cool like universe and atmosphere. It's all like
semi-hell,
dungeon-y, and like you're in this like morbid world that's being like plagued by demons. And
I think this goes back to what we were talking about kind of before the podcast, is that sometimes it's just nice to sit on the sofa and play a game. Mm. I know you've got your setup for your PS5, but you know, similar sort of principle is like the console was just a lot more chill than playing on PC. And I think the last 2 weeks, in the last probably 2 months, I've barely sat in my setup.
Mm.
Barely sat here. Unless it's been to do some content creation, I've not used it. I've basically had 2 months on the sofa playing Xbox and PS5 and bouncing between various games. But I've really enjoyed Dead Island 2.
Yeah, it's a great game.
It's fun. It's really fun.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, you've finished.
I've finished, but I've still got side quests to do. So I finished the main story, which means I could start again as a new character and see what the dialogue difference is. But the nice thing is you kind of finish the story, you can still keep leveling up your weapons and getting, you know, there's weapon specific quests, which I could have done before finishing the story.
Yeah.
But I am a sucker for being quite linear and going, I want to find out what happened. So I finished the game now. Maybe I could have padded out another 3 days.
Yeah.
But it was good fun. Really good fun. Really good narrative, as you know already.
Yeah.
Really fun, really funny narrative. You know, there's a lot of commentary as you're playing the game, smashing zombies in. And it kind of de-escalates the fear. You do get to a stage in like most games where you become OP.
Mm.
And towards the end of the game, bar the like the main story bosses, you smash the shit out of zombies. Like, it is fun. So, you know, you there's lots of different kind of perks, lots of different sort of damage types from fire, electric, you know, kind of melt, poison, caustic sort of stuff. So you balance your weapons out. So you've got a bit of everything. but there's also a lot of passive murders you can do. So you can smash fire hydrants. They will start firing out water, soak the floor, shoot the floor with one of your electric guns, and then suddenly electrifies the road, and then you can kill 20 zombies. So it's like, I quite like there is a lot of environmental input and damage, because I always find there was a big period of gaming where everything felt a bit painted. You know, so I think you go back to, what was that game that was on PS2? It was a mining, like a red mining game. It was like a space game, but in
Red
the
mine. Faction.
Red Faction. So Red Faction had obviously a lot of environmental damage.
That was one of the first, I think Red Faction 2 is the game you're talking about.
Yes.
And that was one of the first games to my memory that had destructible environments.
You could go through walls and go into...
Yeah, you
like,
could take a car and you could literally just demolish like an entire...
Exactly.
I'm pretty sure me and my brother, as kids...
Yeah.
Literally, there's like the area we're in, we went and destroyed absolutely everything we possibly could.
Yeah, yeah, and you did. We got someone down there. Poppy, recording. Up you go, sweetheart. Good girl. Okay, after the podcast, my lovely. Okay, we'll do it after the podcast. Yeah, Red Faction 2 was that game.
Yeah.
And then that led into games like Metal Gear Solid 2 on the container ship. You could go through like the canteen and you could shoot the TV and it would break. You could shoot magazines and it would tear up into little pieces of paper. Yeah. You could shoot fire extinguishers and it would blow. You could go into the bathroom and turn on the tap and it would show you a secret message on a mirror. Like, if you're in a world that looks incredible, yet you cannot open a door, or you cannot kick a bin, or you cannot turn on a tap. Those things piss me off.
Reflections in mirrors, that's something that gets me. I'm like, in some games, like in this day and age,
there's no reflection.
There's no reflection, like, you can do that in this day and age.
Cyberpunk pissed me off for that.
Yeah.
Because you could only see yourself when you went into
the mirror screen.
The mirror mode.
Yeah.
Where you could actually, and then you were stuck in this mode and you had to come out of it. Like,
yeah.
No, I just want to see what I look like without pressing something.
Just walk past the mirror. Like,
yeah. I want to see what I look like.
I appreciate it's probably easier said than done, but you
don't make excuses for them, Paul. It's not on. It's not on.
But still, I like just walk past the mirror and just see a reflection. Like, it can't be that difficult.
They did that in Metal Gear Solid 2, like 15 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I think, you know, that's the thing. Dead Island feels quite good for that. It's not that you can open every door. It's not like you can open every box. But there is a, you know, you look at a pipe and there was a, I couldn't get past this level. And I was like, how do I put out this fire? I've got the, I've turned this like wheel to turn off the gas that's causing the ignition for the fire. But I can't get to that wheel over there that's clearly going to turn off the final bit of gas to pull out this flame. And I was there for like 10 minutes. And then I thought, logically, there's pipes up there. I've run out of options here. I've been here for like ages. I've had multiple waves of zombies. I've been back to the beginning of the game. I've come all the way back to this room. I've not missed anything.
No.
So I pulled my shotgun out and I shot the pipe. And all the water came out and it put out the fire. But it wasn't obvious. It didn't give me any clues. It didn't tell me anything.
But it's one of those moments where you do it and you're like, ah, for fuck's sake.
Obvious.
Yeah.
Obvious, you've done it. But I think we've been trained for so long that environments aren't destructible, where they don't contribute to the game.
Or if they are destructible, they are so blatantly obvious.
Yeah.
They're literally flashing.
Yeah. Yeah. They have a flashing thing on it.
They might as well just write, shoot me across it. Yeah.
Basically, they do. So this game didn't do any of that. So when I actually shot it, it was very satisfying.
Yeah.
It was really satisfying to actually just go, ah, and then you start seeing the game very differently. You start looking around the room of going, there's got to be something in here that I can shoot, manipulate, or whatever to put that out. And then I started seeing more fire hydrants. I started using them more.
Yeah.
And then you start to feel really immersive.
Because then you're like, I'm actually using the whole world to its full potential.
Basically. And I think that's what games need a lot more, especially action games. Like, you know, whether it's Days Gone or whatever, you know, it'd be really good to, you know, chop a tree down if you want to put someone across a path, or, you know, but nothing's destructible.
There's a horde coming down. I can literally run this tree down and squash half of them or hold them back.
Yeah. You know, and it, to be fair, it did have a lot of good environmental damage where you could do that when you went through the specific horde parts. There was lots of pre-made traps that you could run around.
Yeah, like pulling the pallets down, setting
off. Outside of that, you know, very much stopped. But I think that game, I don't unfairly pick on that one because I love that game. But yeah, there is a lot of games that I've played in recent years where Cyberpunk's a great example of this, because Cyberpunk looks absolutely incredible but feels completely empty.
Yeah, it's graphically insane.
Yeah.
But
but there is nothing for you to interact
you
with
can't
in the game.
Do anything. Like if you were to shoot a wall,
yeah,
you wouldn't even dent it.
No,
it just look.
TVs don't break. No. You know, they might have damage, but the screen doesn't go black or, you know, any of that stuff. But like, yeah, you know, too many locked doors, you know, nothing in the environment seems to be able to be manipulated or used to damage or anything like that. And you think that is a cutting edge game that took years of development. And yet they didn't feel the need to make anything interactive.
Yeah. Like GTA is the same. You'd think GTA, you'd just be able to walk into any house.
Any house.
I mean, they've come a long way. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But you'd think you'd just be able to just walk into a house and just take shit, because
there should be more stuff in the houses.
That's
stuff
what,
that influenced the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I that is a big thing for me with games. Like I want them to be, I'd rather the maps were smaller.
Yeah.
Because the fashion for the last few years is to get the biggest map. Look how big our game is.
No one cares.
Yeah, but if you can't do anything in 80% of the game, it's just traveling for traveling's sake.
Yeah. I'd rather like
make it smaller.
A smaller, more like not elaborate, but more like concise map, which is, you know, a decent size, but not like, guess say, picking on a game.
Yeah.
Odd, Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Yeah.
Massive game.
Too big.
Too big. Don't need that in my life. Just give me a nice small map. I mean, I think that going back to Grand Theft Auto, San Andreas, Vice City, those sort of size maps, they were perfect.
Yeah.
You felt like you travelled far. But actually, they're only...
Well, put it this way. Let's imagine you're in London within half a square mile, but you could go into every building.
Yeah.
Up every floor, like skyscrapers.
Game changer.
Why would you need a map that half the size of, like, fucking Dorset? You know, I think it's less is more sometimes.
Like, yeah.
Bring the map in, but make the map super, super immersive. Like, do you remember Shenmue on the Dreamcast? That had elements of that. Like, you know, you can go and play in the arcade and you can play every machine. You could go up to a static drinks machine and put a coin in and get a drink out and drink it and get your energy levels up. You know, you could walk along and there'd be cats. You can go over and pet them. You know, it was just Shenmue for me was the closest to a sim game while being an adventure game.
Yeah.
So, you know, it felt very much you had to go home and go to bed. You had to wake up. And then go through your daily routine. You had to go to a job, do your job. And then after your job, you went off and the story carried on. Shenmue was way ahead of its time.
That definitely was ahead of its time. Good. They bought a remake out for that, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. It kind of lost its way after a little bit. I think when the original developer maybe stopped being involved in it. And Dreamcast obviously then failed and it brought out on someone else. But yeah, no, that for me was a really, really good time. I think the Dreamcast did kind of push things a little bit. But like, why are we now in 2023, after 10 years after a lot of these games came out, and yet so many games are still so painted?
Yeah, very painted. Did you see when the last Spider-Man game came out? So not the Miles Morales one, the other one.
Yep.
If you went far enough out in the sea, like the characters were just like PS1 polygons, basically. And it's like, if you were sitting on the shoreline, you could be like, oh yeah, there's somebody in that boat over there.
Yeah.
You go up to them, hideous. They were just like blobs.
I mean, Spider-Man's a good example. It was a good game. Combat was really good. Boring. Outside of, like, if you came off the story, you were traveling miles to do these little insignificant side missions. They were very cookie cutter. So it was like, you know, this van's been robbed. Same movements. Jump on the cab, pull the guy out the cab. Mission, you know, it's lots of cookie cutter
missions. Go grab
missions.
This, bring it back over here.
Yeah.
Fetch quest.
A lot of rinse repeat, but none of the buildings outside of the quest line you could go in.
No. I mean, yeah, you couldn't really do much apart from...
No.
But to be fair, like, the swinging around town, they absolutely nailed.
Oh, it's fun.
The swinging mechanics,
but
they nailed.
But it kind of like does get old fairly quickly.
Yeah.
When you're just like, ugh, I've just swung for 5 minutes to get to this mission. Yeah. Now I've got to swing 10 minutes back.
I'm in the middle of Manhattan. I've got to get right over to the other side of the...
Lake. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I think that's where, like, we know how, like, London, for example, you know, when we go and stay in London and we spend a day walking around, we've only really covered like a square mile or two. And you've gone past so much stuff. How cool would it be to go inside a Buckingham Palace? Rather just see it. Yeah. So like Watch Dogs.
Yeah.
Watch Dog Legions. That was good.
That was a good game.
It had a lot of interactivity, probably more so than what we're describing on Cyberpunk, but still, you were very linear.
The shops. You couldn't go into the shops on there because the shops were like, you stand in front of the window and you activate the shop, then it puts you in a little menu.
Yeah.
You couldn't, if you didn't have the GTA approach where you could walk into a shop, walk up to a clothing rack and then look at stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, Watch Dogs is one of those where you have, there's so much interaction with everything.
Yeah.
But it's not on the level that you're sort of looking for.
Yeah.
It's more of a, I can drive that car, I can make that car turn left.
Yeah.
I can jump on this drone.
Yeah.
It's a different level of interaction, isn't it? Because they sort of take it one step further.
I think what we're trying to look for is realism. So, you know, you want to go into the corner shop and buy some sweets.
I'm going to buy some beers and then want to go drive
and get
car.
Drunk.
Yeah.
And then basically get pulled over for drunk driving.
Getting drunk. If there's the option to get drunk in a game, it's the best.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the screen starts to get a little bit blurry and, you know, all that extra kind of, you know, realism and stuff. Yeah. But, you know, it should be harder to control the car.
Yeah.
You know, you should start to go all over the road, and then basically you get pulled over and you get done for drunk driving. Mm. You go out to spend a day in prison.
We just want life simulator. We want to be able to do what we can't do in the real life in the real.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. It's basically, I want GTA, but I want it to look more realistic.
Yeah, yeah.
But I want it to have a bit of Shenmue in it. Okay, bring it here. Bring it here. They've been very good, in fairness.
We need to get into that. Lamb plays it. He does the GTA RP.
Okay, I've never done it.
It's like, it's a modded thing for PC, and it's full role play. Like, there are people playing cops, people playing paramedics, people playing shop assistants.
Yeah, yeah.
And literally you walk into like the shop, and it's an actual guy, and he's just there like, I own a shop.
Mental.
Like, it's like,
he's just in there chilling for the day.
It is literally just like full role play.
Right, which one is it, Poppy? Which one do you want?
It's
Do It Cat, is it? Okay, so we're getting a quick game for my youngest. You want to come say hello to the podcast? Let's come right up to the mic.
Hello.
Do It Cat, yeah?
Yeah.
Do It Cat. Tell me which one
it
is.
All together. D-O-U, It Cat. Oh, that's it.
That one? Oh, Duet Cats. Not Do It, Duet. So it's a singing game, is it?
Yeah.
Right, well, I'll tell you what to do.
And it was Believer.
You need to go sit in my bed and plug it in on mummy's side, and then it won't run out. You've only got 7%. No, you can't have the animal charger. Come on, sweetie, we're still recording. People are listening. Go up and plug it into mummy's side, okay?
Okay, good. I don't know which charger's had. What color is it?
I think it's black, I think, but it's the one with the special end on it.
Okay.
So, yeah, there we go. Classic parenting podcast. I just like to see games like concentrate on immersion a bit more.
A bit more immersion, yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good idea. I'd like that too, I think.
So what have we got left to cover? Anything?
No, we're That's done. It. That is it done.
Is that our time?
We're at 50 minutes, so we're back to the schedule.
We are back to schedule. Well, there we go. That is a much quicker one. We are going to do back to back. So next week we'll be coming at you again, maybe with a slightly longer.
Yeah, well, we're coming up to, 50 odd minutes?
50 minutes, a sub hour.
Yeah, so we're good enough. We like to try to keep it just under an hour.
Nice. So next week Paul will be back. He is not going to be working the night after that one, so maybe we'll keep going with the strong beers.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me I got work tomorrow.
Yeah, sorry mate. I might as well be working tomorrow because I've got housework. It's raining outside, the sun has disappeared in the UK. I don't know when it's coming back. I typically bought a paddling pool tonight.
Oh really?
So the girls basically have had lots of various incentives for either going to bed.
Okay.
No, so the incentives have been staying in bed. So Poppy's been getting out of her bed and coming to our bed for months now, doing our editing. So her incentive and her like kind of prize for not doing that. And Daisy's has been to try and shower every night, or at the very least every other night, because she's a bit of a stinker. But she's obviously getting to an age now where she needs to be a bit more hygienic.
Yeah, yeah.
So we've been giving her incentives for just going up and having a shower off her own back without us having to nag her. So we basically, tonight I went up to get our usual payday treats and there was a princess paddling pool. So they got a paddling pool tonight. So typically the weather is shocking.
Oh, it rained, yeah.
It probably won't come out for 2 weeks now. But yeah, they got their paddling pool and a load of snacks.
That's nice.
So that is our day tomorrow, depending on the weather.
Yeah. I think it's supposed to be good this weekend, to be fair.
They won't care. To be honest, if I put it up in the rain in the garden, they still go in.
You're going to get wet anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So my job for the weekend is a bit of content, a few voiceover bits and bobs, try and get two or three bits done that are giving me mental grief, and also just try and clear the house.
Yeah.
Have to clear out.
Yeah. Oh, nice. So productive weekend, hopefully.
Productive, hopefully. And then straight back into work next week. So, yeah, very, very hectic lately, hence why I'm not as chatty on Instagram and Discord, because the brain is just a bit mulchy with everything that's going on and everything that needs to be achieved.
Yeah, the IRL work life comes first, yeah.
Definitely IRL is in pole position at the minute, but we will make a comeback.
See, I've got no kids tomorrow, so...
Nice.
They go to Marwell.
Oh, very nice. Marwell Zoo.
Brownies guides. Nice. One, two.
So you and your good lady having some
No, she's working all day, thank God.
Oh, so you're gonna be on a bit of solo time. Nice.
Yeah, me and Pamela.
good old Pamela.
Yeah, no. I might do you know what? Apparently I've got content to make for a fucking arm, so
well, maybe you can use that arm and do two things at once.
Yes.
There we go. And on that note,
we're off.
Thank you very much. Oh, we didn't say thank you to Belgium and Taiwan.
Thank you for Belgium and Taiwan for listening. We hope we are still top of your charts.
I would hope so. So what's the opposite of ni hao?
I don't know. Goodbye.
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 Goodbye in an accent.
See you next week.
Thanks all. Take care. Bye. Bye-bye.